Hello, this is one for the course Counseling Troubled Youth. I'm your instructor, Bill Hines. One is entitled Introduction. What is an adolescent and where do they come from? Since this is our first time together, I'd like to take a moment to introduce myself. I'm a native of Fort Worth, Texas, where I grew up and went to high school. I then went on to University of Texas at Arlington, where I earned the BA in Political Science, and then to the Liberty University School of Lifelong Learning, where I earned the MA in Counseling and the MA in Religion. I also did graduate studies at Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando, Florida, and the Francis A. Schaeffer Institute of Christianity and Contemporary Culture at Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm an ordained minister, and I've worked for Young Life International. I've also worked as a youth minister for Covenant Presbyterian Church in Winter Haven, Florida, and as a staff counselor with the Center for Biblical Counseling and Education in St. Louis, Missouri. I founded Covenant Ministries in 1991. Covenant Ministries is a counseling and education ministry dedicated to helping people live the abundant life Jesus proclaimed. Through teaching, counseling, and carefully focused seminars, Covenant Ministries aims to equip the believer to better follow the directives of Scripture and to bring their lives into greater conformity with the vision God has for them. I became a Christian in ninth grade through the ministry of Young Life, but primarily through the ministry of my older brother Mark. My brother Mark had gone to Young Life camp and had become a Christian, a real Christian, the summer before, and when he came back, I saw his changed life and knew that I wanted that kind of life for myself as well. I had thought I was a Christian, but when he proclaimed that he had not been a Christian and had become one, I knew that I must need to become one also. So I did follow him into the faith as well as into working with Young Life. I worked with Young Life in a variety of capacities as camp counselor, as volunteer leader, and eventually as a full-time staff leader for Young Life in Pampa, Texas for 2.5 years before going to Covenant Presbyterian Church in Winter Haven, Florida, where I worked as a youth director for another 3 years. My experience with youth has taught me, among other things, that high school students and junior high students are going through a turbulent time, and probably a time that we have created for them, we meaning the culture, Western culture. There wasn't always something called adolescence, although adolescence as a term was used by the ancient Greeks, but it referred most commonly to physical growth. In America, adulthood was assigned to all those who were past grammar school. If you were past the age of 11 or 12, you were considered an adult if you did not continue in your schooling. So it was more of a term of what you did rather than your maturity level. There were reasons for early maturity in the 18th and 19th century. One was the early death of parents. People died younger. A second reason was the agrarian living required teens to work as adults, and so they were treated as adults. I would pose the question, does this mean that they tended to live up to their expectations? That's a question we'll come back to later. A third reason for early maturity in the 18th and 19th century America was a difficulty in supporting dependent children. Families simply did not have enough money to continue to support their large families, and so once the child reached a level where they could make it on their own, they moved out of the house. In our culture today, we find the emergence of adolescence really goes back to the industrial and technological revolutions. The adolescent was different depending on whether he lived in the rural areas or in urban areas. In rural areas, they worked on farms, they grew up faster, and more was expected of them. In urban areas, they tended to have apprenticeships, and they grew up slower, and their maturity was delayed, especially if they continued in school. With the emergence of our modern society, moral education has changed as well. It used to be that the children were educated by the family and the church. But now moral education has shifted to society. Now, there are various ways that we might define adolescence. A modern way to define it would simply to be the period between childhood and adulthood. But that can be broken down even more. Medically, we might say that adolescence begins with hormonal changes and ends when growth stops. Legally, we could say that adolescence ends with the ability to contract as an adult. Educationally, we think of it as middle school and high school. The question remains, however, what are adolescents? Are they adults, or are they children, or are they something in between? We'll take a look at what the Bible has to say, but for right now, I would like to contend that adolescence has been culturally created. We in the Western society have created adolescence. We've allowed children to take a long time to grow up. Having said that, however, the reality is that adolescence is with us. It's not just parents against the teen. It's parents against a culture that treats the teenagers like kids, and that's an important distinction. We must decide whether we are going to treat adolescents as old children or as young adults. I will argue that we should treat them as young adults. You may remember earlier that I talked a little bit about, or I asked the question, whether there was a connection with expecting more of young adults or old children, and therefore getting more, having them live up to our expectations. And I believe that there is. I believe that as we begin to treat our teenagers more and more as adults, we'll find that they live up to expectations much better. You're always hearing, if you have children in the teen years as I do, you'll always hear them say that they don't want to be treated like children, that they're old enough to make decisions, that they're old enough to do a number of things. You may argue the point with them as to whether they're ready or not for some things, but we must admit that they are old enough to have children, to engage in sexual activity, that they are old enough to engage in certain types of thinking that we usually ascribe to adults. And so for these reasons and others that we'll get to later, I will continue to argue that we should think of adolescents as young adults. Now, what about adolescence in the Scripture? Well, first of all, the Bible does not specifically refer to adolescence. There's an opportunity to, if the Apostle Paul had wanted to, in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, where he said, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me." So that he went from being a child to being a man, a pretty clear transition. The Apostle John in 1 John 2:12 through 14 says that, "I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." There's much we could say about these verses, but he does refer to children, young men, and fathers. And he seems to indicate that the young men are capable of much. Now, the Bible also speaks of training children. In Proverbs 22:6, we see that it says that they are trained according to their way. "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. We also see from Proverbs 4, 10-13, that children are to be trained and then let go. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. There was a sense of training and letting go that's very healthy in Scripture and very healthy in our modern culture as well. As the Bible speaks of training children, it also speaks of letting those children go, presumably to grow up and be adults. But the Bible does recognize stages of life. Jesus spoke of the innocence of little children in Luke 18:16, where he said, Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." He referred to little children. In Luke 2:52, we find that Jesus himself achieved levels of growth, where it says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. We've already seen how the Apostle John and the Apostle Paul spoke of young men and fathers and growing up from a child to an adult. Paul especially, as he recognized in 1 Corinthians 13:11, that he did one thing as a child, and he did another as a man. So he recognized stages of growth. And certainly we have portions of Scripture where it spoke of people as being very old, whether it was one of the patriarchs in their old age or others in their old age. So how should we view adolescence from a biblical perspective? Well, I believe that we must see adolescence as young men and young women versus older kids. We seem to have children who are in training, and we have young men and young women. I'd like to say a word about the counselor and the adolescent. We'll talk more about this later, but for now, I just want us to recognize that the culture and to some extent the adolescent is against you as a counselor. The reason I say that is because the culture tends to want to keep adolescents as children and not expect too much out of them. And also, the adolescent, although they will say that they want to be older, often they don't. When I was teaching, I taught high school for about a year, I would have people come in, and on the one hand, they would argue that they were adults and ought to be treated as adults, and yet they would come in and say, well, they didn't have their homework because their mother forgot to remind them, or their mother didn't bring it up to school when they called, or they would say how their little brother or sister lost it. There were always excuses that you think of with children, but you think of as growing out of those kinds of excuses as adults. And so sometimes the adolescents themselves fight against us as we try to treat them as adults. So when you as a counselor deal with the adolescent, I suggest to you that you speak to them as young adults who are, one, in a phase of life like everyone else. Secondly, that they are young adults who are responsible to God. Thirdly, that they are young adults who are responsible to government, to the civil laws. Fourth, that they are young adults responsible to church leaders. Fifth, that they are young adults responsible to their parents. Sixth, that they are young adults responsible to their employers. And seventh, that they are young adults responsible to society. And then I must add that they are young adults responsible to themselves. In our society of victims and blame shifting, we have to help the adolescent realize that at some point, he must take responsibility for himself. I heard a moving story recently of a man who's nearing 50 who said that for a year of his life, he was sexually abused by a camp counselor. This was a day camp that he went to often through this year of his life. And he said for the rest of his life, for many, many years, whenever he had a problem, he blamed it on that camp counselor. And if anybody said, "Why can't you make it in business?" in his mind, he was saying, "Because so-and-so abused me." But he said, "You know, after I got married, and after my wife became a Christian, and then after I became a Christian, I woke up one day, and I just said, you know, I can't blame this on that person anymore. I'm going to have to take responsibility. I'm going to have to let Jesus do in me the things he promised to do in terms of healing and letting me get on with my life. And from this day forward, I am no longer going to use that as an excuse." And he went on to say that he thinks everybody must come to a point in their lives when they say, "No longer am I going to play the victim. From here on out, I'm going to take responsibility." And if you can, in your working with the adolescent, if you can get them to that point of saying, you know, I can be responsible, I can quit blaming everybody else, you will have accomplished a great task. And I would like to suggest, even in light of what I said about adolescents sometimes wanting to shift blame, what they really want is they really do want to grow up. They really do want to mature. Dr. Ronald Kotesky, professor of psychology at Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky, has written a book called Understanding Adolescence: Help Your Teenager Navigate the Turbulence of Adolescence. And he talks about this idea that we've been talking about as to whether they are children or whether they are adults. And he poses the question, if they can think like adults and make moral decisions like adults, why do they act like children? Why don't they act like adults? The idea that adolescents should act like children is a part of our invention of adolescence, he says. This began about 150 years ago, when educators concluded that it was harmful to mature too early, and they talked about the disease of precocity. For nearly 100 years, Kotesky goes on, people believed that if children developed too rapidly, they were ill. If children began to act like adults too soon, they could even go insane. Rather than thinking of children as gifted, parents took them out of school and encouraged them to play and do manual labor. They did not want their children to develop the terrible disease of precocity. They did not want them to ripen too early because they thought that led to early rot. Kotesky goes on to say that between 1900 and 1920, we even started many organizations to turn adolescents from adults into children. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Boys Clubs, Campfire Girls, and Boys and Girls Agricultural Clubs are only a few of these organizations. With the invention of these, we officially started calling people in their teens boys and girls. In our thinking, we changed them from adults into children. And he concludes by saying, if you expect your teenagers to act like irresponsible children, they will. On the other hand, if you expect them to act like responsible adults, as people did for thousands of years, they will. Kotesky, in his book, I believe, makes a very valid argument for treating adolescents as young adults. Having said all of this about treating the adolescent as a young adult, I must hasten to add that when we approach the adolescent, we do have to take stock of where they are emotionally, physiologically. There are immature adolescents just as there are immature adults. I might not treat one 15-year-old the same way I would treat another, because one may have grown up faster, maybe they had more expected of them, and maybe they met the challenges much better than the other one did. But I will treat them according to where they are in life as I would any other adult. This brings us to the end of our introduction. What is an adolescent, and where do they come from?